but it's the only way we can improve. A few years ago, Mark Zuckerberg decided he wanted to learn Chinese. And in order to practice, he started trying to have work meetings with some of our Facebook colleagues who were native speakers. Now, you would think his very limited language skills would keep these conversations from being useful. One day, he asked a woman who was there how it was going. How did she like Facebook? She answered with a long and pretty complicated sentence. So he said, you know, simpler, please. She spoke again. Simpler, please. This went back and forth a couple of times till she just blurted out in frustration, "My manager is bad." That he understood. So often the truth is sacrificed to conflict avoidance, or by the time we speak the truth, we've used so many caveats and preambles that the message totally gets lost. So as you ask each other for the truth and other people, can you elicit it in simple and clear language? And when you speak your truth, can you use simple and clear language? As hard as it is to be honest with other people, it can be even more difficult to be honest with ourselves. For years after I had children, I would say pretty often, "I don't feel guilty working," even when no one asked. Someone might say, "Cheryl, how's your day today?" And I would say, "Great, I don't feel guilty working." Or, "Do I need a sweater?" "Yes, it's unpredictably freezing, and I don't feel guilty working." I was kind of like a parrot with issues. Then one day, on the treadmill, I was reading this article in the Sociology Journal about how people don't start out lying to other people, they start out lying to themselves. And the things we repeat most frequently are often those lies. So as sweat was pouring down my face, I started wondering, well, what do I repeat pretty frequently? And I realized, I feel guilty working. I then did a lot of research, and I spent an entire year with my dear friend Nell Scovell writing a book talking about how I was thinking and feeling, and I'm so grateful that so many women around the world connected to it. My book, of course, was called 50 Shades of Grey. I can see a lot of you connected to it as well. We have even more work to do in being honest about the world we live in. We don't always see the hard truths, and once we see them, we don't always have the courage to speak out. When my classmates and I were in college, we thought the fight for gender equality was won. It was over. Sure, most of the leaders in every industry were men, but we thought changing that was just a matter of time. Lamont Library, right over there, one generation before us, didn't let women through its doors. But by the time we sat in your seats, everything was equal. Harvard and Radcliffe was fully integrated. We didn't need feminism because we were already equal. We were wrong. I was wrong. The world was not equal then, and it is not equal now. I think nowadays, we don't just hide ourselves from the hard truth and shut our eyes to the inequities, but we suffer from the tyranny of low expectations. In the last election cycle in the United States, women won 20% of the Senate seats. And all the headlines kept screaming out, "Women take over the Senate, women take over the Senate." I felt like screaming back, "Wait a minute, everyone. 50% of the population getting 20% of the seats? That's not a takeover. That's an embarrassment." Just a few months ago, this year, a very well-respected and well-known business executive in Silicon Valley invited me to give a speech to his club on social media. I'd been to this club a few months before when I had been invited for a friend's birthday. It was a beautiful building, and I was wandering around, looking at it, looking for the women's room,